Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Media Reloaded. I'm your host for this evening, Lori Anderson. We are learning about active denial technology, also known as ADT. Yes, it does in fact exist. So the question that I am asking is, why don't we have this on the border? Because if we were to project the type of weaponry, if somebody was trying to come across the border, they could simply hit them with that and they would run the opposite direction. If you see the testing, you can see that. Or better yet, let's talk Syria for a second, because tomorrow night, Tom Lacovara Stewart will be on tomorrow night and we will be covering Syria together. So with this type of technology, why even use those bullets if it does so well as what's shown in the video? Why couldn't they have run out all of those terrorists out of those towns once the civilians got out, or even with the civilians there? Because the way that they do it is they turn the weaponry itself. They hit an individual person, or they can hit a crowd by scrolling over the crowd. So why are so many people dying because of bombs or because of bullets when they have the capability to do this type of thing? You know my stand on Syria. We should not even be there. It's illegal, unlawful, unconstitutional. No excuse for it. We'll cover more about that tomorrow night, though. Let's discuss the border. Let's discuss those riots. Why wasn't active denial technology used in that situation? It's apparent that already some sheriff's departments are trying to utilize or at least get the ability to do that. Do the MRAPs have the capability to have ADT? Absolutely. In some of the videos from the Department of Defense, you can see that it goes a good long ways, and not only that, they can shoot that beam through the windows of your vehicles, through windows in your homes. Shall we think about that option to protect and help to save some lives? Or will it be a worse idea to implement it? What got me digging into this in the first place, a lot of people called in, started talking about it. And then you have other people that think that they were tinfoil hat wearing nut jobs. And so I had to prove or disprove what they were talking about. They were right. We'll be covering some other electromagnetic instruments and smart technology that you may or may not be aware of, so that when people do call in and say certain things, you realize they know what they're talking about instead of being a person in a corner with a dunce hat. Careful what you automatically draw a conclusion without research. We're going to be researching quite a bit in the next couple of weeks, educating as I'm learning myself on different things. I love learning, but even more, I find it disturbing. And in this specific document, they're quoting the 2015 National Security Strategy of February. Let's remember that Special Operations Force's main goal is to implement the National Security Strategy of the President. 2015 National Security Strategy, if you do not know, was under President Obama, was very much for the new international order, pro-TPP, to get it implemented, pro-UN Agenda 21, even though they didn't call it UN Agenda 21, you know, it was those environmental needs. Do away with the sovereignty of each and every state of our union. So from what I understand, I now have Eric from Courtroom Observers, Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers. Very phenomenal individual fighting for the rights of every individual that he can help. Lately, he's been helping to fight for the rights of Tyler Whitman. I'm glad he brought Tyler Whitman's case to my attention, and hopefully we'll be able to hear some sort of new news. If we don't have any new news, then Eric can just hang with me and we can discuss back and forth these technologies and the different ideas. Hi, Eric. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Lori. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate you taking so much time to really pick apart all these issues that are peripheral but still related to Tyler's case. Once again, just doing the one case at a time approach, we're uncovering all kinds of stuff, you know, that illustrate what's going on in the deep, dark corners of our corporate medical establishment. And now, you know, and we've heard the scare stories about the veterans, and here we have a case firsthand. There's nothing really new to report. Unfortunately, he's still being poisoned with the Seroquel. And I didn't expect him to be released immediately because the court order for his release is pending in just a couple of weeks. I didn't expect him to jump the gun and just let him go. But I do expect the poison pill to cease and desist being forced down his throat. And so I encourage people to keep calling the numbers that we gave out on Monday and Tuesday. I do know people have been calling. I got reports from several of our listeners as to what they encountered when they called, and in my follow-up calls, I encountered quite a few voicemail boxes that were full. So that's good news. At least people, and the only thing that's going to get him out right now is public pressure, public attention on his case. We have him being force-fed a pill called Seroquel, which the maker AstraZeneca knew full well caused cardiac arrest, infectious pneumonia, and sudden death, among other symptoms and other ailments. And they still kept marketing it, and they still kept paying doctors to put it out on the market. And the Justice Department in the state of South Carolina, with 36 other states and over 20,000 individuals, as Lori reported, successfully sued. So, I mean, what in God's name is going on that our Veterans Administration, our psychiatric establishment, the court of Columbia, South Carolina, and the private care facility are all forcing this guy to take a medication that is known to be fatal. So it really is bothering me that the poisoning is still occurring. Keep the calls coming on, people. If he gets released on his release date, that would be great. The pill thing needs to stop now. That's why I'm encouraging people to continue calling so they realize, I mean, Lori said give them the benefit of the doubt. I kind of have to go on to think that they already know. But Lori's right. Let's approach it with an optimistic, positive outlook and say, hey, do you know that this Seroquel pill that you're forcing this man to take is poisonous? And they lost the lawsuit over it. I mean, it's already in the court record that this stuff is deadly. So you don't have to, there's not much of a stretch. You don't have to do much convincing, I wouldn't think, to get this to cease and desist immediately. So think outside the box. Be creative. We couldn't give every number of every public official out, so track down the state senators for the state of South Carolina, the governor's office. The governor, if I'm not mistaken, Lori, is former military, and he's also up for re-election. So remind him that if he'd like to be re-elected, I mean, it would be really wise to stand up for the veterans that are being abused. In this case, a veteran named Tyler Whitman being held in Columbia, South Carolina. So that's just kind of my spiel. Now, I do have, you can ask me, you know, if you have anything you want to ask, but I wanted to answer your question. Why are these non-lethal? And first of all, let me say two things. I'll be brief. I'm so encouraged by the comments of the military spokesman that this is okay. It doesn't do any permanent damage. There's nothing to worry about. Non-lethal. It's just going to make you crawl out of your skin for a few minutes. Yeah, like the vaccines were no problem. The vaccines don't hurt you. Let's see, what else? The mercury doesn't hurt you. The depleted uranium's okay. That doesn't hurt you. Fukushima's no problem. GMO food, what are you talking about? This stuff's fine. So if anybody is trusting the fact that this stuff does not do any, I can almost guarantee you there's permanent DNA damage done by these weapons when they're used. They are absolutely lethal. You know what they are, though? They're a slow kill instead of a fast kill. Now, the reason they were not used in Ferguson, let me preface this second comment by saying, of course, these weapons were absolutely developed for us. The United States is the only country standing in the way of the New World Order in any serious manner right now as far as the people. You know, the grassroots, because of one thing, the Second Amendment. And until the reason they didn't use it in Ferguson, and they haven't used it in any type of major situation yet, it's because people are going to open fire. They're going to shoot back. When you start making people crawl out of their skin and feel like they're on fire, I can guarantee they're going to open fire. And the Marines are going to have to go to the bullet box, and they're going to have to, you might as well just throw the non-lethal stuff out the window, because as soon as they use it, they're going to get a whole hailstorm of bullets. I can almost guarantee it. It doesn't matter if they're in the city, the country, the suburbs. I don't care where they are. They're going to be returned fire. People aren't going to take it. So they realize when they pull this genie out of the bottle, it ain't going back in. So until they get the guns, they're not going to be able to pull this off. That's why there's such a big push to stage these shootings and then pass a whole ton of laws through the bar members in the legislature, enforced by the bar members in the witch's court, and executed by the street Nazis to take those guns under new laws. And once they got the guns, oh, this stuff will come out. They'll be happy to use it all the time.
So here's my question for you, Eric, because I agree that it should not be used inside the United States of America. But what about the border?
Well,
what is your opinion on that?
The solution for the border has already been put forth, a perfect solution by a man named Glenn Spencer. He has an organization called American Border Patrol. It's nothing to do with the government, although he's trying to work with the government as much as he can. He owns a giant ranch on the border and deals with all of the nightmares and problems of being a border property owner. He came up with a system of sonar, sound detection devices that's like an above ground sonar. It's not radar, but it's a sound detection system where he would strategically place on the hilltops, high position, so they had a long range, a few here, a few there, not many. It didn't take a lot of them because he had it mapped out where, with a certain hilltops, he could cover this whole border with very few of these devices, which were not expensive to begin with. And every time somebody came, and it would be calibrated to tell the difference between a coyote and a man or a woman or a deer. And he had it set up, and it worked great. Apparently, it was only going to be, I don't know, $40 or $50 million to do it. He has an airplane that he flew congressmen over to show him what he was going to do. He made the presentation to the government, and they said, thanks, but no thanks. We need that border open. That's the solution, is right there. A bunch of sound detector devices at the top of the hills at the high points, and then anybody that walks across immediately sets off that what would you call it, kind of an invisible fence. And in comes the Border Patrol and scoops them up. If you want to stop it, it's done deal overnight for very little money. That's the solution to the border. Nobody wants to talk about it. I know you probably didn't know about it, Lori. That's why you didn't. But that's the solution in my opinion.
Okay, but and that would definitely be something to look into. Okay.
We don't.
However, what I'm saying is yep. That still allows for the individuals to step foot on our land. Okay. With the information that I got and the videos that I watched and how it does it, it would deter them from even stepping on the land. Like if there's a mass, let me give you an example. Okay. Let's say there's a mass exodus and there's 150 people in this group, and this group is coming over, right? And they are getting ready to step onto our land. If they're hit with that direct energy weapon, the active denial technology, they will go the opposite direction, is what I'm saying, without any shots being fired and without them stepping onto our land. Now, I'm not saying for permanent. I'm saying as a way to deter illegal crossers until the other could be set up like what you were talking about. But still, somebody has to be on the property in order to engage that sonar.
Okay, yep. It's very tempting, and I'm tempted to say, yeah, zap them. If they're bum-rushing the border, zap them. But it sets the precedent for it to happen to us, too. And once those weapons are used on them, they're going to be used on us. They ought to just be outright banned. And the government just behave itself, and then people won't rise up and rebel because they're starving and broke and losing their property. I mean, I don't blame vets being abused. I don't blame them. This is what they want. No, I'm almost tempted to agree with you, Lori, and it is tempting. But you know what's going to happen? They're going to get comfortable zapping people with their fancy weapons that are provided by the military-industrial complex and happily supported by the Trump administration, and they're just going to start willy-nilly. You're never going to see the solution of the sonar, the sound detection devices, ever implemented, because they're going to have their zapping party. I just don't like it. I don't think it's good. We need to force the government to install the right proper system and do it now. Just increase the Border Patrol and use the technology we have for now until that sound detection device grid is installed. But if you give them another option that's non-lethal, and I would contend it's eventually lethal, if you're exposed to this, I'm sure it does long-term damage to the DNA.
Through the electromagnetic pulses, yeah.
If we let them fall back on that position and that weapon now to secure the border, you're never going to get rid of it. You're never going to get the real solution put into place, and we're going to be stuck with that, and it's going to set a very bad precedent for them to use it on us patriots.
Well, and I definitely see that side of things, too. That's why, I'm kind of going back and forth with you about this thought pattern of it. But, as far as the reality, too, of a lot of the border crossers are not because they're fleeing because of financial difficulties, or they're fleeing because they're targeted. A lot of them are being sent in here by the Soros, and a lot of them are being funded and paid to come over here. A lot of the individuals are also sent in by drug cartels, So we have to remember that there's a lot of, and I'm not talking about just Mexico, a lot of individuals, whether it be Saudi Arabia, whether it be Cuba, whether it be wherever they're coming from, a lot of times what happens is they, Guatemala, they'll come up through Mexico,
Let me add one third, probably real brief, one third component to what you just named. You mentioned Soros, who is the funding agent. You mentioned the drug cartels, who are the delivery agent. There's one more component, and I'm just going to tell you this is a fact, and I know a lot of people don't like to hear this, but there's an agency that resettles all these invaders in local communities, finds them an apartment, gets them a welfare check, puts them on the social, gives them a card to vote.
Department of Homeland Security.
Absolutely not. It's called Catholic Family Charities.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Department of Homeland Security when they were taking them.
They're processing it
and dropping them off.
They don't have enough money to pay for all this or enough brains to orchestrate it. This is done by Catholic Family Charities, and you know who Catholic Family Charities works for. I don't want to use the V word or the. I'm sorry. All roads lead to Rome is still true to this day.
All right, and we'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors. Get ready to call in if you want to talk to us. 1-800-944-9443. We want to hear from you. We'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsor.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
A revolution needs a war, and this war needs a revolutionary fight for your rights. The Constitution speaks of speech that's free. Open your mouth from sea to shining sea. The world of real Americans, please stand up. No more hiding your face in the sand. We're real Americans, please stand up. Divided, we're falling, but united, we'll stand.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Media Reloaded. I'm your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and we've been discussing the active denial technology, also known as ADT. Yes, it does exist. No, the individuals talking about it do not have tinfoil hats and are not conspiracy theorists. It does, in fact, exist, as I have proven throughout the show, with the Department of Defense's own audios, videos, and documents. And Eric and I were just discussing a couple of things. And, you know, we've been covering, Eric, the electromagnetic hypersensitivity earlier in the week, the also known as EHS, because of the smart meters. And in 2004, as you know, the World Health Organization even declared EHS a phenomenon where individuals experience adverse health effects while using or being in the vicinity of devices emanating electric, magnetic, or electromagnetic fields, also known as EMFs. Whatever it's caused, the EHS is a real and sometimes debilitating problem for affected persons. Currently, research has demonstrated objective evidence to support that EHS diagnosis defining pathopsychological mechanisms include immune dysregulation in vitro with increased production of selected cyclotines and disruption and dysregulation of catecholamine physiology. Until recently, the diagnosis of EHS had not received much support from the medical community due to lack of objective evidence. However, in an effort to determine the legitimacy of EHS as a neurological disorder, however, a collection of scientists and physicians recently conducted a double-blind research study that concluded that EMF hypersensitivity can occur as a bona fide environmentally inducible neurological syndrome. McCarthy, 2011. So as you know, we're talking about, even though we're talking about the active denial technology, Eric, we're discussing electromagnetic pulses. We're discussing sort of the same issue. Even though it's not directly related to Tyler Whitman's case, it is part of the hypersensitivity. What happens to people when they come in contact with that? Are our police departments lined with those and we don't know it? Would it be smarter or better to use that? Especially now, Eric, I've got to say this. And we have a caller on the line. Give me just one moment. We'll get right to you. I have to say this, I would rather them use that if they're going to be unlawfully in Syria than I would rather than for them to use bombs. What do you say about that?
Well, obviously, if we had to make that only choice between those two options, I would agree with you.
Can we agree that they just need to pull their behinds out of Syria and quit invading other countries that they don't belong in the first place?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I thought you would agree with me on that one. We've got a caller, Eric. Hi, Sovereign Man. How are you doing today?
I am blessed and highly favored.
That is so good to hear. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the active denial technology that we went over tonight?
Well, they are testing them overseas for domestic use. There's no doubt about it. But they are using them here. There's this thing called, have you ever heard of gang stalking?
Yes. Covered a little bit of that last night.
Yep. I was listening. They are being used in a private capacity, so to speak, or could we say in a deep state black capacity.
Right.
I remember when I was at the Bilderberg Conference in 2008, I believe that I was hit with something like that. My leg felt like it was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a cloudburst, and I had a bunch of camera gear. I was doing some videography. So I wanted to get back to the car so that the equipment would get damaged. And as we were going back to the car, my leg was feeling like it was on fire. So the individual that I was with, I said, pull over here at this gas station so I can go in the bathroom, because I wanted to see what was going on, because I expected to see a burn mark, but it was actually just like a pink concentric circle. It was like a perfect circle.
Yeah.
So it must have been focused.
Right, and now once you went away from that, did the burning stop?
Actually, the sensation of that burning, we're up against the bump.
Okay, hold on there, Sovereign Man. We've got a couple of words from our sponsors coming up. We want to continue to hear what you have to say. We'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors, everyone.
Welcome to the place of the lamps. Hypocrisy. Little people. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. About what's right.
We are American.
Taking back our country, come and join the fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Media Reloaded. I'm your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, joined with Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and we have a caller on the line, Sovereign Man, that was telling us about his experience that he believes he was also hit with one of the ADTs, or active denial technology. Go ahead, Sovereign Man, and tell us your story.
Yeah, so we went to the nearest. It was like a convenience / gas station, and I went and used the facility in there, and I went and I checked, and I had like a perfect pink circle on my thigh. So it took a while for the burning sensation to actually dissipate. Like, it wasn't like I got out of the beam and it stopped, mm-hmm. You know. So I know that they can tune those things up. And they can say it only goes so deep. I guarantee you, it can go a whole lot deeper.
Oh, I'm sure they probably could. You don't think that they're going to let that out to the public, do you?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I also wanted to mention that they were using in the G20 summit up in Pittsburgh back in the... the date... evades me right at the moment, but they were using what they call sound cannons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen those.
Are you talking about the voice to skull? Is that what you're talking about?
No, they're not voice, not V2K. It may seem to be like that, but they're basically, you'll see them on the, the multi-purpose vehicles, you might want to call it whatever. Could be a Humvee, could be one of those ATSs or whatever you want to call them. They got like six wheels on them. But they're not APCs, but anyway. They're basically, it looks like a dish, only it's a flat panel.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what exactly they're called, but there's basically LRAD, that's what it is. LRAD, a sound cannon.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, you can look up LRAD. They had those deployed in Pittsburgh at the G20 summit.
Yep.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about, because there was a huge protest at one point, and they did this huge sound, and it was so deafening that people would have to hold their ears and ran away.
Yeah,
is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, your hands aren't gonna do anything over your ears.
I think I remember, because there was a protest years ago where that was actually used, isn't that correct?
Yeah, it was at the G20 summit at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Now you can use a pair of earphones that you would get at like the store that sells chainsaws, and they have ear protection that covers your entire ear, and they're nice and heavy duty. If you get like a good brand name pair, that will defeat, the earplugs won't work. You got to get that whole ear covered, like almost like a studio headset. Or like you would wear for doing a chainsaw or heavy equipment where it goes right over the whole ear.
Or for like when you go to the shooting range.
There you go.
Right. Because that would help with stopping the vibrations as well. Very interesting. That's something else I will be looking into as well. Go ahead.
Could I give a shout out on the chat room?
It's not
active right now, but it's freedomscreenradio.chattango.com. one of the other chatters put a bunch of links in there. And, you know, you guys want to post, like, links to articles or whatever that you're going to read or videos, you can do that.
Oh, thank you, Robert. Man, thanks for reminding me. We're going to post a lot of the stuff that we have at Courtroom Watch over at the Freedom Scream Radio. I appreciate you setting that up. That was nice of you.
Yeah,
thank you.
And I told you that the chat room can be embedded in a website. Not hard to do.
Oh, okay. Great.
So if they went to Courtroom Watch and they wanted to, you know, leave a message, you could drop it in the chat.
Uh-huh. Good.
Yeah, that would be a very helpful one.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just another venue for communication.
Right.
Absolutely. The more the better.
The more the merrier, for sure. Thank you so much, Sovereign Man, for sharing your story, too. We appreciate that.
I pray to have your protection round about the blessings.
Absolutely. Blessings to you, too. And, you know, looking through this document, it states in here what defines non-lethal weapons, and then underneath that, it says the definition of what constitutes a non-lethal weapon. This, according to the Department of Defense, by the way, is specified in the Department of Defense Directive 3000.03E. At its core and for the purposes of this document, non-lethal weapons are defined by three tenets. Number one, to deliver immediate target response. Number two, to provide predictable and intended reversible effects. And number three, minimize undesired collateral damage. Non-lethal weapons capabilities are further categorized into counter-personnel, or CP, or counter-material, core capability areas. The capability area tasks, and I'm going to read to you a table because it's pretty mind-blowing when you read what the capabilities are. Resulting from 2008 joint non-lethal effects capabilities-based assessment and associated CP and CM initial capabilities documents dated April of 2009 provided a broad function for the development of joint and service unique non-lethal weapon requirements and S&T objectives. Non-lethal capability development, however, is not limited to the target set or effects described in the documents. So the counter-personnel tasks, this is what the list is under that one. Deny access into or out of an area to individuals, opened or confined, single, few, or many. To disable individuals, opened or confined, single, few, or many. To move individuals through an area, open, confined, single, few, or many. And suppress individuals, open or confined, single, few, or many. The counter-material tax. Now listen to the scariness of this, Eric. Stop small vehicles, stop medium vehicles, stop large vehicles, disable vehicle, many vehicles, stop small vessels, stop large vessels, disable vessel, many vessels, stop fixed wing aircraft on the ground, divert aircraft in the air, and deny access to facility, in example, block points of entry. How scary is that?
You got to figure the Russians and the Chinese and a lot of other Indians, the very smart scientists, you don't think they have the same type of mechanisms to defeat our fighter aircraft? Am I dreaming, or is it, I mean...
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely, but this isn't even talking about fighter aircraft.
No, I know, but I'm just extrapolating to the worst-case scenario, which is they could shut our Air Force down with the flip of a switch, I would imagine, because this is rudimentary technology that can interfere with or cease the functions of an aircraft. Imagine what they could possibly use against us. I mean, it's not looking good for our technology if the enemy, so to speak, has it as well.
Right. And I would say that this has been in use probably for a long time, and because this is publicly available now, and we know that they don't allow things to be publicly available that they're currently working on. I mean, we're not that ignorant, are we, really? The vehicle stopping method, of course, is the physical barrier, but I found it interesting in the document that I'm looking at. They used a picture of what appeared to be a Ford F-150. You know, it's a drawing, so, I mean, it's just a guess. And it, of course, shows the, like, the tack strips, right, for the physical stopping of a vehicle, and then electrical vehicle stoppers. And then it shows the high-powered RFs, them sending signals to the truck. Of course, you know, with a lot of the new vehicles now, they're completely electronic, smart vehicles. Yeah, that's how smart they are. You're setting yourself up to be shut down.
Can I interrupt you there just for a second? Because you triggered, I heard somebody the other day told me that Colorado is installing detectors on the highways that read all the information in your car's computer, when it's registered, when the inspection expires, when the registration expires, who's in it, do you have any unpaid tickets, do you have any wants or warrants, do you have, you know, I mean, and not to mention the general databasing of where you're going, when, and possibly with who, they could. It's very interesting that Colorado. Well, it's not surprising though, because apparently I'm told by someone in the service that everything is in Cheyenne Mountain right now. The NSA, the CIA, and the Joint Chief, everything military, so to speak,
is in what
there.
Mountain?
Cheyenne Mountain and in the Colorado Springs area. Cheyenne Mountain is it also called Iron Mountain?
Okay.
Yeah, it's where the you know, what is it? The North American Air Defense Command, is that NORAD? I believe it's in there. You saw it depicted in the movie War Games with Matthew Broderick, where they go deep inside the mountain and they have all the, you know, it's the computer center, it's the brain, you know, it's the center of operations for most of the, you know, military, especially the Air Command and the missile defense for North America, if I'm not mistaken, and if they haven't bounced it around or moved it, you know, I'm just going on what I know, so I'd throw that out there.
Right, that's pretty
Colorado's
interesting.
Colorado's the center of the New World Order right now, believe it or not.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising, since New York has the United Nations building right there, I mean, center of United Nations right there in New York. When are we going to make it illegal for the United Nations to even be on our soil?
Yesterday.
I'm for that. United Nations and all these fictitious... You know, that's another thing, Eric. You know, I know we're getting off the topic a little bit, but you know what? It's almost towards the end of the show. The United Nations has, you know, allegedly, people are under the impression we have to follow these United Nations treaties. Well, you know, we don't, because any of the treaties that we have to follow have to be consistent with the Constitution. So these... If these anomalies, if you will, or these thought patterns that have been ingrained in the people that, oh, well, it's law because we agreed to that treaty. No, first of all, I didn't sign any treaty. You won't find my name on it, so I didn't agree to it. Second of all, it's repugnant to our Constitution, which is the law of the land. So with it being repugnant, it was unlawful to be agreed to in the first place. And, you know, how much of United Nations has seeped through and just infiltrated everywhere in the United States of America, from community boards to police force, through, of course, contracts, because, you know, you have the Council on Foreign Relations, which, of course, sinks into the Special Operations Forces, and SOCOM, Special Operations Command, which, of course, links into DHS, which, of course, DHS contracts with your local police departments and sheriff's departments and all of that good little stuff. And then they wonder why we're having a problem. And people go, oh, if the blue hats come, we're going to make sure to get them out. They're already here. They infiltrated and they turned our guys, without our guys even realizing it, pushing international codes. What do you think about that? That's craziness.
Well, let's not forget that the United Nations is not just something that's been around This is a spinoff from the League of Nations.
Yes, it is.
And the League of Nations was a spinoff from the early... I found a very interesting book. I'm scrambling to grab it when you brought this up, but it was at the bottom of the pile. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get... I'm just paging through it. It was a brief couple of pages in a book called The American Heritage Book of the Pioneer Spirit. And... Mm-hmm. Manifest Destiny. There's a couple of pages on the pacifist movement, which when you read it and read what these guys were about, the early anti-war movement was nothing more than the laying the foundation for the one world government and the League of Nations, which would soon follow. Of course, they had to have World War I to get that through, and then World War II, because the League of Nations didn't work and nobody wants a world government.
Well, the League of Nations got caught and got in trouble, too. That's why they got disbanded. So they had to rebrand it, just like they did the New World Order. They had to rebrand that into the New International Order so they could stick it in the United States National Security Strategy of 2015, which was, by the way, one of the disturbing things about the document I read tonight, because that's what that document was going off of. The Strategic Plan 2016 through 2025, Science and Technology Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Program. Yeah, they quoted that they were going off of the National Security Strategy of February 2015. Chapter 5, everyone, if you don't believe me, look it up. National Security Strategy, February 2015. Look up Chapter 5. It's the New International Order. Right in the open. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I still can't find this. It's just a couple of pages in this very big book, and it doesn't seem... It'll give me something to talk about next time you have me on. I don't know if we're going to be together tomorrow, but I could read it to you then if you want me to. It's brief, but it gives the names and the names of the organizations. And one was called the Brotherhood of... Oh, I can't... I wish I could find it here, but it's going to take me a little bit longer.
Did it happen to mention the Club of Rome?
I don't think that was in there.
For that, and we'll cover that on a different night, because that's definitely an interesting topic and some history that I guarantee you most of our listeners, if there are listeners, then they probably have heard about this, but any new listeners may not have heard about this information. And I'll tell you something, another interesting thing, Eric, and I've said this before over and over again, that guess what year of document was the first time I saw anything about the quote-unquote North American Union? Yes, the same North American Union we've been fighting against today, by the way. Guess what date? 1787.
This goes back a ways.
That was in the secret recordings of in Congress assembled when they were fighting against the Constitution, because they saw it for what it was. It was a flipping of the power from the people being over the states and then the states being over the small, tiny central government. It was a flipping of that power. And they lay it all out in those secret congressional documents. It's amazing how wise they were.
Sure is.
Amazing. I mean, to a T, if you read them, your mouth will drop because you're like, oh my gosh. How in the world could they possibly have had so much insight? They had to have had God leading them. Just because if you read it, you're like, every bit of that is true. Every bit of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. And, I'll have to discuss those documents one night and leave links for everybody to be able to read. And I'm talking about official documents. I'm not talking about New York Times articles, if you will. We don't do those. But I want to remind everybody, because our topics lately, of course, are dealing with the electromagnetic hypersensitivity, the EHS, the smart meters, and then, of course, now tonight, the active denial technology. But I want to remind everybody that you know, the goal of mastering the human domain and the special operations forces, Jade Helm 15 and everything like that, even though Jade Helm 15 was a drill, the Sabbat Shu that was in that symbol actually means sabotage. And the mastering the human domain is not about a drill. And this is what is said about mastering the human domain. It is the totality of the physical, cultural, social environments that influence human behavior to the extent that success of any military operation or campaign depends on the application of unique capabilities that are designed to fight and win population-centric conflicts. It's critical and complementary concept to the recognized domains of land, air, maritime, space, and cyberspace. The concept and the addition of a human domain are important because the other domains insufficiently address the human dimension of conflict. Although it is deemed a critical component to land power, further, the addition of the human domain, similar to the seventh warfighting function, will ensure that we are providing a framework to support and employ the complementary capabilities of special operations and conventional forces. Also, Lieutenant General Keith Walker noted that, quote, the rising velocity of the human interaction through the internet and social media makes influencing human behavior the centerpiece of military strategy. As Sun Tzu said, quote, for one to win 100 victories in 100 battles is not the acme of skill. To subdue the enemy without fighting is the acme of skill. So the more you look and the more you dig, the more you realize, once again, that is this more deep state stuff that is going to come back to bite us in the rear? Because that is what this specific document that, of course, will be provided for you under the show, the Strategic Plan 2016 through 2025, the Science and Technology Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Program, quotes that in that document for the National Security Strategy of February 2015.
Listen to this. And he's doing a very weird Masonic hand sign. Who is this guy? Beginning in the 1840s, former blacksmith's apprentice Eli Hugh Burritt devoted his vigorous energies to the cause of international peace. The title of the section, just to give people a little teaser for next time, International Peace, Pursuit of the Elusive Vision. And so, man's noblest dream that war shall be abolished from the earth is not, of course, exclusively American. And it goes on to talk about these, the Christians, I'm trying to find the name of the group that was the kind of the early UN. The American Peace Society. In May 1828, he founded the American Peace Society.
Okay, and Eric, you're going to have to hold on that note. I'm hearing the music. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Courtroomwatch.org for Eric. Everybody, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media Broadcast. And I am Lori Anderson, your host. As always, watch your backs, check your facts. Semper Fidelis. Have a wonderful night.
Thanks, Mike.
Interested in photo ops.